Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Joining us right now, and it's good to have him back, is Frank Schwab, who covers the NFL and sports betting for Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at Yahoo Schwab. We are, you know, early in training camp, Frank. I know that this is, you know, part of the product overall where people start to pay attention. My contention for many years has been, I don't think we learn anything as fans from watching a training camp practice or watching a training camp viral, you know, social media video, or even watching the preseason games. Do you think there's anything to actually learn other than injuries, a serious injury or a big contract, you know, signing, or maybe even a trade of some sort, or the announcement of a quarterback starting as the, you know, the number one guy? But in terms of what these teams are going to be, is there anything to actually decipher here over the next month?
Not a lot. I think the things that we do pay attention to are sometimes false positives in that.
Right.
You will watch some preseason game and a quarterback will look really, really good. And we'll say, wow. And then we realize once a regular season starts and defenses start blitzing, that it completely changes. So I try not to take too much of what happens in the preseason, but sometimes things happen. Sometimes Victor Cruz balls out in the preseason and he's this undrafted guy for the Giants and he ends up being a star for them for years and years. It does happen, but it's really, really hard to parse out what's real, what's kind of this this mirage, what really matters, what doesn't. So I try not to take too much stock into what you see. But even a few, I'll tell you this too. Like I remember a few years ago, many years ago by now, I think 6 years ago, I was sitting there watching, you know, the Bears usually play a Saturday afternoon standalone preseason game. And they're playing the Chiefs. And I'm like, my goodness, Patrick Mahomes looks great. Like he is not just physically good, but he is making all the reads and blah, blah, blah. And I said, maybe this kid will come along a little bit. You know, he's a former first round pick and then he ends up being MVP of the league. So sometimes it does happen, but yes, to your point, I think there's more of things we viral. Like anytime you see a single video of Roma Dunze making a really nice catch in the end zone, it's worth noting, but yeah, don't go rushing out and you know, buying a NFL offensive rookie of the year stock in Roma Dunze just because you see a viral video.
Yeah, your Mahomes example is an interesting one, but for every Mahomes, there's that training camp phenomena where fans are like, oh my God, we found ourselves a guy. You know, many years ago when this franchise was actually a relevant one here in the NFL, Babe Laufenberg was an absolute preseason hero. Like, I think in back-to-back preseasons, he led like 3 fourth-quarter game-winning drives against, you know, guys that weren't even going to make the team. And everybody said, well, they found their guy, or at least the, you know, the eventual replacement for Joe Theismann or for, you know, Doug Williams. But, you have put out your, you know, off-season power rankings, countdown, and season preview of all 32 teams, and you don't have much positive in terms of your overall thoughts on Washington, but share with everybody where you have Washington ranked among the 32 and why.
And I'll say this, that, you know, I have to do the rankings in May. For graphics people, whatever. Nobody cares about that. But I do find that when I start writing about these teams, I spend at least a day on each team just studying them, watching tape, reading everything from the market. Like, it's a really, really deep dive into each team. And I'll admit, like, I was wrong about this team. And one of the teams I was really wrong about was the Commanders. I think they're going to be pretty good. I do. And maybe this is the one question I have with them is the offensive line. The offensive line is a big question mark, right? I think if the offensive line is decent, I think that this team could be in playoff contention. I think that this could be 2012 all over again, where a rookie number two pick quarterback kind of comes in and just takes over the franchise and has a really, really big year. And the one thing that does translate really well right away when we see rookie quarterbacks come in and make a big splash is the running game. And Jaden Daniels is a heck of a playmaker. I've been a big, big fan of his. Love the pick for Washington. I love the hire of Dan Quinn. I love some of the things Adam Peters has done to build the roster. It's a completely different team. This is the year when finally we feel like there's a shift in a new era for Washington. This is the I think they had the most roster turnover in the NFL in the offseason. Obviously, new coach, new quarterback, new GM. This is different for Washington. And every year we see some team come out of nowhere and be in playoff contention. And a lot of the ingredients that I look for are right there with Washington, including, like, I think last year they were dead last in the NFL in turnover margin, right? That's not going to repeat with a Dan Quinn defense. Like, they're going to get some takeaways. Jaden Daniels is not a turnover prone quarterback. So when I have the Commanders ranked at 29, I'll sit here on the air with you and tell you right now that if I had to do it all over again right now at the end of it, I'd probably change, at least with the Giants. They're better than the Giants, I'll tell you that. I just got it wrong. I was just looking at the old Commanders, worrying about a rookie quarterback and the offensive line and some of the roster issues they have. They're still in a rebuild. But when I really, really dug into this team, there are a lot of things where I'm like, this is the kind of indicator that you look for when you look for a really, really big year-to-year turnaround.
I promise all of you who are listening that I did not write that answer for Frank Schwab, but every single thing you said and the way you said it is how I feel. And look, I last week I said, I think there's a chance Washington is that, you know, is one of those two or three teams that nobody thinks will do anything that surprises. And I said 10-7 and a wild card berth is not out of the question. And Frank, look, it's been impossible to think that way about this franchise for a long period of time because of the ownership. I mean, we always use the description on air that we had to suspend reality just to have a conversation about the football team. Like, hey, what could they be this year? You know what? Well, we knew as long as Dan owned the team, there really wasn't much of a chance of being one of those NFL franchises that could have a surprise season. But I feel the exact same way you do for almost all of the same reasons. What would you rank as the number one reason why you feel like Washington could be a Houston of this upcoming season, what Houston was last year? Is it Daniels?
Yeah, I'm just going to be lazy and say Jaden Daniels, because that is the reason. Would you look at, and it has happened, I think, look, it's in my preview, so I don't want to get this wrong, but I think in four of the last five seasons, we've seen the team go from worst to first. And I believe every single one of those teams either had the number one overall pick quarterback or number two overall pick quarterback come in and have a great year, whether it was Trevor Lawrence or C.J. Stroud like last year. And it's hard to be like, well, you know, Jaden Daniels is the number two pick. Look what C.J. Stroud did. Well, C.J. Stroud is the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen. Like, he was unbelievably advanced for his age. But there's no reason Jaden Daniels can't be really, really good right off the bat. And one thing that opened my eyes, I was already really feeling good about the Commanders. And then my colleague at Yahoo Sports, Troy Epstein, went down there. And you know, the Commanders people were just saying, look, this kid's the first guy in the building every day. He can't get enough. He's a gym rat. I like hearing that from a rookie. He already knows what it's going to take to be a professional quarterback. And I'm sure you guys have heard that too, even more down there. He kind of gets it. And you could just put it on the tape. Like, his LSU tape is just big play after big play after big play. And I think some of that is going to translate really well. And it's not like Washington was absolutely barren of talent. I get that they are in that second pick in many ways, but there are some good players. There's some good defensive linemen. Terry McLaurin's a good player. There is some reasons for hope there, and a lot of the free agents I really liked. But the number one reason by far, Jaden Daniels. Like, it's lazy. I wish, you know, it's picking off the low end of the tree, but he is so exciting and so interesting and just a guy who I think translates right away to the NFL that I think he's going to transform that franchise.
Give me another team in the NFC that you think could make a big jump from a disappointing season last year.
Yeah, and it's not a huge, huge jump, but I think the Seahawks are a team nobody's talking about, but I have such respect for Mike McDonald. I just think he has been described, and this is lazy too, but the Sean McVay of defense, a young guy who just has these great ideas, and he did such great work for the Ravens the last couple of years running their defense. There's a reason all of his assistants are getting bigger jobs, coordinator jobs and stuff. Everybody wants to get a fruit off of that tree because I think Mike McDonald is a really, really good coach, and they have talent. We know they have talent. It's not like the Seahawks were terrible last year. They were a 9-8 team. And nothing against Pete Carroll. Love Pete Carroll. But I just think they needed a new voice, and McDonald brings that to them. You look, and the receivers are great. They got two really, really highly drafted running backs who, you know, I don't agree with drafting running backs that high, but those two guys help. I think there's a lot of talent on defense, and McDonald's going to get the most of it. It's a lot like Washington, though, where it's okay, well, I have to account for the offensive line. The offensive line might be bad, and that might sink them. But I really like Seattle as another team that could surprise this year.
Yeah, you're the second straight guest I've had covering the NFL that has said Seattle is underlooked right now in the NFC. Do you believe, like many do, that the Cowboys will take a step back?
I don't know. I think that we get so caught up in this every year because it feels like I had this conversation 12 months ago. Because what we do, because of the Cowboys are just covered differently than every team. They're talked about differently than every other team. It's like going back to my college days with an SEC fan base where every single loss, they want to fire the coach and get rid of the quarterback. And it's just a crazy market. And we forget that the Dallas Cowboys have won 12 games in a row for three straight years. And everybody went crazy because Jerry Jones, Jerry says some weird stuff. We all know this. He comes out and he says, we're all in this offseason. Never we're going to be all in. Well, that was never a possibility. They have to worry about Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons' contract. So they were going to be, quote-unquote, all in. But then when it didn't happen, people are like, well, the Cowboys had this horrendous offseason. It wasn't a great offseason, but I don't know if Doris Armstrong is really moving the needle that much on the Dallas Cowboys. No offense to him. He's a good player. You guys all enjoy him, but... do we really believe that
you guys will enjoy him? He's okay. Yeah, no, but I hear you. Right.
It's not like he brings the Cowboys.
It's not like they lost Parsons. 12-win,
right. They were a 12-win team last year, and people are treating them like, I think their over-under is down to 9.5, and do we really think it's a 9-8 team? Maybe, but it would have to be because Dak gets hurt or something. The core is still there. You're still a very, very good football team. They're going to get to January, and they're going to blow it in the playoffs because they always do. But for the regular, they're going to be the exact same team they've been the last 3 years. They're going to be 11 or 12 wins. It depends on how good the Eagles are if they win the NFC East. They're going to disappoint in the playoffs. And then next offseason, we're just going to go crazy again about how the roof is falling for the Cowboys. So I'm not. I think the Cowboys are a very, very good football team. Not one I'm picking for a Super Bowl, but it's still a very good football team, and I'm not buying the hype that the sky is falling there.
So, you know, based on what you've said in this conversation that we've had, you basically think three teams from the NFC East are going to make the playoffs, right?
I could get there. That's a problem. I haven't really settled on my playoff picks yet. I know I'm picking for a Super Bowl, and it's a team that hasn't won a title since 1957.
We'll get to Detroit here in a second.
But I could see it. Yes, I could. If Washington gets, it's hard to put Washington because then you're leaving somebody out. You're leaving Chicago Bears out, or you're leaving. I mean, who knows? The Los Angeles Rams. You got to account for them. But yeah, one team from the South for sure. The North has a lot of talent, too. But I could see three teams from the NFC East making it, too, for sure. I think the Cowboys and Eagles are, unless injuries hit really, really hard, they're almost locks. And then it's just figuring out the rest after that.
Right, because you've already mentioned Seattle, and you just talked about the NFC North being loaded, and maybe just the NFC South produces the division champion. But, you know, whenever we do this in July and August, it looks silly at the end of the year. You know, I think it was 2 years ago or whatever, the NFC East was predicted to be one of the worst divisions in the history of football, and it ended up with, like, the best aggregate overall record in the league.
Oh, remember 2 years ago when we thought the AFC West was going to be the best division ever.
And then it didn't.
Russell Wilson tanked. And it doesn't always work out the way we think it will in August.
So why Detroit?
I just think they're loaded. The best offensive line of football.
Right.
They have the skill position talent. They have the offense is going to be great. Like there's so much continuity on offense that I really like that. And then they identify their weaknesses in the offseason, particularly cornerback. They said, we can't really cover anybody right now. So what do? They draft two cornerbacks. They sign a cornerback of free agency and a trade for another cornerback. So I just think that getting so close, and maybe sometimes we fall for this story a little bit where, Team X gets really, really close to a championship and loses, and they're really motivated, and they'll take the next step. And that doesn't always happen. I mean, the 1990 Jordan Bulls, it doesn't always happen where they get past the Pistons, right? But I just feel like losing the way they did, getting the confidence they did with their playoff run, really like their coach. I really like their coaching staff. Ben Johnson's a great offensive coordinator. I just think there's lines here. It just feels like this team is ready to kind of fulfill this promise and finally get Detroit to a Super Bowl. I just think they're loaded. On every single way, this roster is really built right now to win a championship.
Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports joining us right now. You can follow Frank on Twitter, on X, at Yahoo Schwab. He just put out his off-season power rankings. He's got the Chiefs, of course, number one. One more NFC question. So if you think this is the breakthrough for the Lions to make their first Super Bowl, does that mean at the end of this year the window's closed on San Francisco and they will have not produced an actual ring for these Kyle Shanahan teams?
I don't think so. I think Kyle's so good and their infrastructure with their front office is so good that I don't think they're going away, but I do think that this roster as presently constructed is not going to look the same in 2025. Christian McCaffrey is going to be 29, and Trent Williams, I believe, is 35 years old, as great as he is. So at some point, he has to slow down. And I think everybody realizes that not Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, both aren't going to be back. One of them is going to be gone at least. George Kittle, I think, is 30 years old. Like, it's just a roster that it's still great, but at some point, just a decay a little bit can really get to you, and I think that might happen with the 49ers. Look, the 49ers can win a Super Bowl this year. Just because I'm picking the Lions doesn't mean I'm, like, completely out on the 49ers. I realize that there's no weakness there. When you look up and down the 49ers roster, if you find a weakness, let me know, because I can't find it. They're so good in every way. They led in overtime of a Super Bowl. Like, they can clearly win it all. I just like Detroit a little bit better. Maybe I'm just trying to be a little contrarian. I don't know. But it's certainly the 49ers can, but if you do miss that opportunity this year, if Kyle Shanahan doesn't win a Super Bowl, I feel bad for him, not because Kyle Shanahan needs my pity or anything, but it's just these weird tropes we have in sports of, he can't win the big one. He's won two NFC championship games. So those aren't big games.
He lost two that were very winnable. If he had kept a quarterback upright in Philadelphia.
Right, they lost all of their quarterbacks in one of those games. That's not really his fault. And sometimes Patrick Mahomes just gets you. That's what it happened to him twice. He led by 10 points in one Super Bowl. He led in the fourth quarter and in overtime of another Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes just got him. That doesn't mean he can't win the big game. It just means that there are other really, really good teams, a dynasty right now, that got him a couple times. So don't believe Kyle Shanahan, quote-unquote, can't win the big game. He certainly can. He's a great coach. But, yes, you only get so many bites at the apple, too. The NFL changes year to year very, very quickly. And who knows? San Francisco can't close the deal this year. We might look back and say that they just never got over the hump because they missed those opportunities.
Yeah, and I'm with you. As long as he's the head coach there and they've got the structure they have, at some point they'll be reloaded with another chance. Would you give Brock Purdy the biggest deal in the history of the game next year?
Nope, I just wouldn't. And that's nothing against Brock Purdy. It is absolutely positively nothing against Brock Purdy, I promise. But I think that it's weird. This is so weird to me. And I hate it on one hand, and I'll get to that. But on one hand, it confuses me that everybody agrees that the biggest advantage in sports, the cheat code in sports right now, is having a good quarterback on his rookie deal. And yet not one team has leveraged that into action of saying, you know what, Brock, you've done well for us, but we're not paying you $55 million a year. We're just not. We can't build a championship team that way. We're going to trade you. We're going to use those picks to get Kyle a couple new quarterbacks, and he's going to develop one of them into the next Brock Purdy. And then 4 years down the road, we're going to trade that guy, and we're going to draft another guy for Kyle to develop. So we're only paying that quarterback on the salary cap $2 million instead of $52 million. Yeah, and nobody actions that. Kyle Shanahan has the job security to do that. John Lynch has the job security to do that. The reason nobody else does is because if the Miami Dolphins or Jacksonville Jaguars move on from their quarterback instead of overpaying them, and they go 5-12, you're getting fired. Like, that's just the way the NFL is, right? But Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch aren't in that boat. Kyle Shanahan made Nick Mullins look like a reasonable quarterback for a while. Like, why would the 49ers pay, and who knows what the number's going to be, let's say 55, because 55 is kind of the roundabout number right now. You're really going to pay Brock Purdy $55 million instead of another quarterback $2 million when you know Kyle Shanahan's going to get every single thing out of that guy?
Frank, you're breaking up just a little bit. I don't know if you moved, but you're just breaking up a little bit, and I love this conversation right now.
Yeah, it's hopefully this is better, but I just wouldn't pay
now.
Brock Purdy.
It's such an interesting thought strategy. And my old radio partner and my good friend Chris Cooley actually said this a few years back, and he actually said it about Lamar Jackson very early in his career, that, you know, going dual threat and perhaps putting him at risk, but you could just reload with another kind of quarterback 4 years later, you know, on a rookie deal. No one's ever done it, but Brock Purdy, to me, would be the kind of guy that you, if he comes out this year and looks like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, well, nobody's going to look like Mahomes, but if he ends up being one of those guys that is truly, obviously elite, if you have one of those guys, I don't think you try to reload every 4 years, but Purdy would be, I think, the perfect guy to try it on with this coaching staff. You're right. It'd be fascinating to watch somebody do that. I think there are, you know, a half dozen guys minimum, that more than that, maybe a dozen guys put in Brock Purdy's spot with that group, with that roster and that coaching staff, that would produce similar results. I may be proven wrong on that. Real quickly before I let you run, in the AFC, is Xavier Worthy Tariq Hill number two?
I could see it, but I don't know about your one. Andy Reid rookies don't necessarily come out of the gates that strong. I mean, even Rashee Rice last year, for 10 games or 8 games or whatever it was, they kind of had him in the garage playing 40% of the snaps, because Andy Reid's offense is difficult. So to expect Xavier Worthy to kind of be what cures you at receiver right away, it might not happen. He's going to have big plays because his speed is just unbelievable. And maybe he's just that dude, right? Like, they're just exceptions to the rule. Maybe he just hits the ground sprinting and 4-2-1 like he usually does. But I just feel like it's going to take him a year. So they need Rashee Rice. Like, this Rashee Rice thing is really kind of an interesting factor for the Chiefs. We don't, like, people have thrown out maybe he's going to get suspended 8 games. Well, they haven't heard anything yet. What if he gets suspended the last 8 games of the year? What if he gets suspended for the playoffs? So what if he doesn't get suspended at all? We don't know. I think that's, of all the lingering questions still with Brandon Ayuk's contract and some of the lingering questions we still have, I think one that we're not talking about enough is Rashee Rice's possible suspension, because Xavier Worthy's awesome. I get that. But rookies generally aren't going to have a 1,000-yard season in an Andy Reid offense because it's complicated. Marquise Brown's fine, but he's not a, you know, he's not a dominator. I think Rashee Rice is the one guy they really need, and they need him at the right time of year. And we have absolutely positively no idea what that situation is going
to
hold.
All right, real quickly, down to 30 seconds. So do you have Detroit in the Super Bowl? Do you have them winning it? And if so, over whom?
I do, and this is crazy, but I had the Lions beating the Browns, and I just wonder if I'm just being
You're a Midwest
crazy
guy.
I am, actually. Yeah, Wisconsin. But, the Lions over the Browns, and then the next day the apocalypse happens.
That would be pretty wild. Two of the teams that have never been to a Super Bowl. Two of the, four teams, Jacksonville and Houston, I think, are the other two? I think that's right.
I believe that's correct.
I may be wrong.
Yep.
Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good conversation with Frank Schwab. Does a really good job covering the league and covering sports betting for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on X on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. When we come back, you're going to hear what Kirk Cousins said about Jay Gruden. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Joining us right now, and it's good to have him back, is Frank Schwab, who covers the NFL and sports betting for Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on X on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. We are, early in training camp, Frank. I know that this is, part of the product overall where people start to pay attention. My contention for many years has been, I don't think we learn anything as fans from watching a training camp practice or watching a training camp viral, social media video, or even watching the preseason games. Do you think there's anything to actually learn other than injuries, a serious injury or a big contract, signing, or maybe even a trade of some sort, or the announcement of a quarterback starting as the number one guy? But in terms of what these teams are going to be, is there anything to actually decipher here over the next month?
Not a lot. I think the things we do pay attention to are sometimes false positives in that.
Right.
You will watch some preseason game and a quarterback will look really, really good. And we'll say, wow. And then we realize once a regular season starts and defenses start blitzing, that it completely changes. So I try not to take too much of what happens in the preseason, but sometimes things happen. Sometimes Victor Cruz balls out in the preseason and he's this undrafted guy for the Giants and he ends up being a star for them for years and years. It does happen, but it's really, really hard to parse out what's real, what's kind of this mirage, what really matters, what doesn't. So I try not to take too much stock into what you see. But even a few, I'll tell you this too. Like I remember a few years ago, many years ago by now, I think 6 years ago, I was sitting there watching, the Bears usually play a Saturday afternoon standalone preseason game. They're playing the Chiefs. And I'm like, my goodness, Patrick Mahomes looks great. Like he is not just physically good, but he is making all the reads and blah, blah, blah. And I said, maybe this kid will come along a little bit. He's a former first round pick and then he ends up being MVP of the league. So sometimes it does happen, but yes, to your point, I think there's more of things viral. Anytime you see a single video of Roma Dunze making a really nice catch in the end zone. It's worth noting, but yeah, don't go rushing out and buying an NFL offensive rookie of the year stock in Roma Dunze just because you see a viral video.
Yeah, your Mahomes example is an interesting one, but for every Mahomes, there's that training camp phenomena where fans are like, oh my God, we found ourselves a guy. You know, many years ago when this franchise was actually a relevant one here in the NFL, Babe Laufenberg was an absolute preseason hero. Like, I think in back-to-back preseasons, he led like 3 fourth-quarter game-winning drives against, you know, guys that weren't even going to make the team. And everybody said, well, they found their guy, or at least the eventual replacement for Joe Theismann or for, you know, Doug Williams. But, you have put out your, you know, off-season power rankings, countdown and season preview of all 32 teams, and you don't have much positive in terms of your overall thoughts on Washington, but share with everybody where you have Washington ranked among the 32 and why.
And I'll say this, that, you know, I have to do the rankings in May. For graphics people, whatever. Nobody cares about that. But I do find that when I start writing about these teams, I spend at least a day on each team just studying them, watching tape, reading everything from the market. Like, it's a really, really deep dive into each team. And I'll admit, I was wrong about this team. And one of the teams I was really wrong about was the Commanders. I think they're going to be pretty good. I do. The one question I have with them is the offensive line. The offensive line is a big question mark, right? I think if the offensive line is decent, I think that this team could be in playoff contention. I think that this could be 2012 all over again, where a rookie number 2 pick quarterback kind of comes in and just takes over the franchise and has a really, really big year. I think the one thing that does translate really well right away when we see rookie quarterbacks come in and make a big splash is the running game. And Jaden Daniels is a heck of a playmaker. I've been a big, big fan of his. Love the pick for Washington. I love the hire of Dan Quinn. I love some of the things Adam Peters has done to build the roster. It's a completely different team. This is the year when finally we feel like there's a shift in a new era for Washington. This is I think they had the most roster turnover in the NFL in the offseason. Obviously, new coach, new quarterback, new GM. This is different for Washington. And every year we see some team come out of nowhere and be in playoff contention. And a lot of the ingredients that I look for are right there with Washington, including, like, I think last year they were dead last in the NFL in turnover margin, right? That's not gonna repeat with a Dan Quinn defense. Like, they're gonna get some takeaways. Jaden Daniels is not a turnover prone quarterback. So when I have the Commanders ranked at 29, I'll sit here on the air with you and tell you right now that if I had to do it all over again right now at the end of it, I'd probably change, at least with the Giants. They're better than the Giants, I'll tell you that. I just got it wrong. I was just looking at the old Commanders, worrying about a rookie quarterback and the offensive line and some of the roster issues they have. They're still in a rebuild. But when I really, really dug into this team, there are a lot of things where I'm like, this is the kind of indicator that you look for when you look for a really, really big year-to-year turnaround.
I promise all of you who are listening that I did not write that answer for Frank Schwab, but every single thing you said and the way you said it is how I feel. And look, I last week I said, I think there's a chance Washington is that, you know, is one of those 2 or 3 teams that nobody thinks will do anything that surprises. And I said 10-7 in a wild card berth is not out of the question. And Frank, look, it's been impossible to think that way about this franchise for a long period of time because of the ownership. I mean, we always use the description on air that we had to suspend reality just to have a conversation about the football team. Like, hey, right, what could they be this year? You know what? Well, we knew as long as Dan owned the team, there really wasn't much of a chance of being one of those NFL franchises that could have a surprise season. But I feel the exact same way you do for almost all of the same reasons. What would you rank as the number one reason why you feel like Washington could be a Houston of this upcoming season, what Houston was last year? Is it Daniels?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to be lazy and say Jaden Daniels, because that is the reason. Would you look at, and it has happened, I think, look, it's in my preview, so I don't get this wrong, but I think in four of the last five seasons, we've seen the team go from worst to first. And I believe every single one of those teams either had the number one overall pick quarterback or number two overall pick quarterback come in and have a great year, whether it was Trevor Lawrence or C.J. Stroud like last year. And it's hard to be like, well, you know, Jaden Daniels is the number two pick. Look what C.J. Stroud did. Well, C.J. Stroud is the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen. Like, he was unbelievably advanced for his age. But there's no reason Jaden Daniels can't be really, really good right off the bat. And one thing that opened my eyes, I was already really feeling good about the Commanders. And then my colleague at Yahoo Sports, Troy Epstein, went down there. And you know, the Commanders people were just saying, look, this kid's the first guy in the building every day. He can't get enough. He's a gym rat. I like hearing that from a rookie. He already knows what it's going to take to be a professional quarterback. And I'm sure you guys have heard that, too, even more down there. He kind of gets it. And you could just put on the tape. Like, his LSU tape is just big play after big play after big play. And I think some of that is going to translate really well. And it's not like Washington was absolutely barren of talent. I get that they are in that second pick in many ways, but there are some good players. There's some good defensive linemen. Terry McLaurin's a good player. There is some reasons for hope there, and a lot of the free agents I really liked. But the number one reason by far, Jaden Daniels. Like, it's lazy. I wish, you know, it's picking off the low end of the tree, but he is so exciting and so interesting, and just a guy who I think translates right away to the NFL, that I think he's going to transform that franchise.
Give me another team in the NFC that you think could make a big jump from a disappointing season last year.
Yeah, and it's not a huge, huge jump, but I think the Seahawks are a team nobody's talking about, but I have such respect for Mike McDonald. I just think he has been described, and this is lazy too, but the Sean McVay of defense, a young guy who just has these great ideas. And he did such great work for the Ravens the last couple of years running their defense. There's a reason all of his assistants are getting bigger jobs, coordinator jobs and stuff. Everybody wants to get a fruit off of that tree, because I think Mike McDonald is a really, really good coach, and they have talent. We know they have talent. It's not like the Seahawks were terrible last year. They were a 9-8 team. And another thing is Pete Carroll. Love Pete Carroll. But I just think they needed a new voice, and McDonald brings that to them. You look, and the receivers are great. They got two really, really highly drafted running backs who, you know, I don't agree with drafting running backs that high, but those two guys help. I think there's a lot of talent on defense that McDonald's could get the most of. It's a lot like Washington, though, where it's okay, well, I have to account for the offensive line. The offensive line might be bad, and that might sink them. But I really like Seattle as another team that could surprise us here.
Yeah, you're the second straight guest I've had covering the NFL that has said Seattle is underlooked right now in the NFC. Do you believe, like many do, that the Cowboys will take a step back?
I don't know. I think that we get so caught up in this every year, because it feels like I had this conversation 12 months ago. Because what we do, because of the Cowboys are just covered differently than every team. They're talked about differently than every other team. It's like going back to my college days with an SEC fan base, where every single loss they want to fire the coach and get rid of the quarterback. And it's just a crazy market. And we forget that the Dallas Cowboys have won 12 games in a row for three straight years. And everybody went crazy because Jerry Jones, Jerry says some weird stuff. We all know this. He comes out and he says, we're all in this offseason. We're going to be all in. Well, that was never a possibility. They have to worry about Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons' contract. So they weren't going to be, quote-unquote, all in. But then when it didn't happen, people are like, well, the Cowboys had this horrendous offseason. It wasn't a great offseason, but I don't know if Doris Armstrong is really moving the needle that much on the Dallas Cowboys. No offense to him. He's a good player. You guys will enjoy him, but do we really believe that
kind of
will
enjoy him? He's okay. Yeah, no, but I hear you. Right.
It's not like he brings the
right. It's not like they lost Parsons.
12-win, right. They were a 12-win team last year, and people are treating them like, I think their over-under is down to 9.5. And do we really think it's a 9-8 team? Maybe, but it would have to be because Dak gets hurt or something. The core is still there. You're still a very, very good football team. They're going to get to January, and they're going to blow it in the playoffs because they always do. But for the regular, they're going to be the exact same team they've been the last 3 years. They're going to be 11 or 12 wins. It depends on how good the Eagles are if they win the NFC East. They're going to disappoint in the playoffs. And then next offseason, we're just going to go crazy again about how the roof is falling for the Cowboys. So I'm not. I think the Cowboys are a very, very good football team. Not one I'm picking for a Super Bowl, but it's still a very good football team. And I'm not buying the hype that the sky is falling there.
So, you know, based on what you've said in this conversation that we've had, you basically think three teams from the NFC East are going to make the playoffs, right?
I could get there. That's a problem. I haven't really settled on my playoff picks yet. I know who I'm picking for a Super Bowl, and it's a team that hasn't won a title since 1957.
We'll get to Detroit here in a second.
But I could see it. Yes, I could. If Washington gets, it's hard to put Washington because then you're leaving somebody out. You're leaving Chicago Bears out. Are you leaving? I mean, who knows? The Los Angeles Rams. You got to account for them. But yeah, one team from the South for sure. The North has a lot of talent too, but I could see three teams from the NFC East making it too for sure. I think the Cowboys and Eagles are, unless injuries hit really, really hard, they're almost locks, and then it's just figuring out the rest after that.
Right, because you've already mentioned Seattle, and you just talked about the NFC North being loaded, and maybe just the NFC South produces the division champion. But, you know, whenever we do this in July and August, it looks silly at the end of the year. You know, I think it was 2 years ago or whatever, the NFC East was predicted to be one of the worst divisions in the history of football, and it ended up with, like, the best aggregate overall record in the league.
Oh, 2 years. Remember 2 years ago when we thought the AFC West was going to be the best division ever.
And then it didn't.
Russell Wilson tanked. And it doesn't always work out the way we think it will in August.
So why Detroit?
I just think they're loaded. The best offensive line of football.
Right.
They have the skill position talent. They have the offense is going to be great. Like there's so much continuity on offense that I really like that. And then they identify their weaknesses in the offseason, particularly cornerback. They said, we can't really cover anybody right now. So what do? They draft two cornerbacks. They sign a cornerback of free agency and a trade for another cornerback. So I just think that getting so close, and maybe sometimes we fall for this story a little bit where, Team X gets really, really close to a championship and loses, and they're really motivated, and they'll take the next step. And that doesn't always happen. I mean, the 1990 Jordan Bulls, it doesn't always happen where they get past the Pistons, right? But I just feel like losing the way they did, getting the confidence they did with their playoff run, really like their coach. I really like their coaching staff. Ben Johnson's a great offensive coordinator. I just think there's lines here. It just feels like this team is ready to kind of fulfill this promise and finally get Detroit to at least a Super Bowl. I just think they're loaded. On every single way, this roster is really built right now to win a championship.
Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports joining us right now. You can follow Frank on Twitter, on X, at Yahoo Schwab. He just put out his offseason power rankings. He's got the Chiefs, of course, number one. One more NFC question. So if you think this is the breakthrough for the Lions to make their first Super Bowl, does that mean at the end of this year the window's closed on San Francisco and they will have not produced an actual ring for these Kyle Shanahan teams?
I don't think so. I think Kyle's so good and their infrastructure with their front office is so good that I don't think they're going away. But I do think that this roster as presently constructed is not going to look the same in 2025. Christian McCaffrey is going to be 29, and Trent Williams, I believe, is 35 years old, as great as he is. So at some point, he has to slow down. And I think everybody realizes that not Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, both aren't going to be back. One of them's going to be gone, at least. George Kittle, I think, is 30 years old. Like, it's just a roster that is still great, but at some point, just a decay a little bit can really get to you, and I think that might happen with the 49ers. Look, the 49ers can win a Super Bowl this year. Just because I'm picking the Lions doesn't mean I'm, like, completely out on the 49ers. I realize that there's no weakness there. When you look up and down the 49ers roster, if you find a weakness, let me know, because I can't find it. They're so good in every way. They led in overtime of a Super Bowl. Like they can clearly win it all. I just like Detroit a little bit better. Maybe I'm just trying to be a little contrarian. I don't know, but it's certainly the 49ers can. But if you do miss that opportunity this year, if Kyle Shanahan doesn't win a Super Bowl, I feel bad for him, not because Kyle Shanahan needs my pity or anything, but it's just these weird tropes we have in sports of, oh, he can't win the big one. He's won two NFC championship games. So those aren't big games.
He lost two that were very winnable. You know, if he had kept a quarterback upright in Philadelphia.
Right, they lost all of their quarterbacks in one of those games. That's not really his fault. And sometimes Patrick Mahomes just gets you. That's what it happened to him twice. He led by 10 points in one Super Bowl. He led in the fourth quarter and in overtime of another Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes just got him. That doesn't mean he can't win the big game. It just means that there are other really, really good teams, a dynasty right now, that got him a couple times. So don't believe Kyle Shanahan, quote-unquote, can't win the big game. He certainly can. He's a great coach. But, yes, you only get so many bites at the apple, too. The NFL changes year to year very, very quickly. And who knows? San Francisco can't close the deal this year. We might look back and say that they just never got over the hump because they missed those opportunities.
Yeah, and I'm with you. As long as he's the head coach there and they've got the structure they have, at some point they'll be reloaded with another chance. Would you give Brock Purdy the biggest deal in the history of the game next year?
Nope, I just wouldn't. And that's nothing against Brock Purdy. It is absolutely positively nothing against Brock Purdy, I promise. But I think that it's weird. This is so weird to me. And I get it on one hand, and I'll get to that. But on one hand, it confuses me that everybody agrees that the biggest advantage in sports, the cheat code in sports right now, is having a good quarterback on his rookie deal. And yet not one team has leveraged that into action of saying, you know what, Brock, you've done well for us, but we're not paying you $55 million a year. We're just not. We can't build a championship team that way. We're going to trade you. We're going to use those picks to get Kyle a couple new quarterbacks, and he's going to develop one of them into the next Brock Purdy. And then 4 years down the road, we're going to trade that guy, and we're going to draft another guy for Kyle to develop. So we're only paying that quarterback on the salary cap $2 million instead of $52 million. Yeah, and nobody actions that. Kyle Shanahan has the job security to do that. John Lynch has the job security to do that. The reason nobody else does is because if the Miami Dolphins or Jacksonville Jaguars move on from their quarterback instead of overpaying them and they go 5-12, you're getting fired. That's just the way the NFL is, right? But Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch aren't in that boat. Kyle Shanahan made Nick Mullins look like a reasonable quarterback for a while. Why would the 49ers pay, who knows what the number's going to be, let's say 55, because 55 is kind of the roundabout number right now. You're really going to pay Brock Purdy $55 million instead of another quarterback $2 million when you know Kyle Shanahan's going to get every single thing out of that guy?
Frank, you're breaking up just a little bit. I don't know if you moved, but you're just breaking up a little bit, and I love this conversation right now.
Yeah, it's hopefully this is better. But I just wouldn't pay Brock Purdy.
It's such an interesting thought strategy. And my old radio partner and my good friend Chris Cooley actually said this a few years back, and he actually said it about Lamar Jackson very early in his career, that, you know, going dual threat and perhaps putting him at risk, but you could just reload with another kind of quarterback 4 years later, you know, on a rookie deal. No one's ever done it, but Brock Purdy, to me, would be the kind of guy that if he comes out this year and looks like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, well, nobody's going to look like Mahomes, but if he ends up being one of those guys that is truly, obviously elite, if you have one of those guys, I don't think you try to reload every 4 years, but Purdy would be, I think, the perfect guy to try it on with this coaching staff. You're right. It'd be fascinating to watch somebody do that. I think there are, you know, a half dozen guys minimum that more than that, maybe a dozen guys put in Brock Purdy's spot with that group, with that roster and that coaching staff that would produce similar results. I may be proven wrong on that. Real quickly before I let you run, in the AFC, is Xavier worthy Tariq Hill number two?
I could see it, but I don't know about your one. Andy Reid rookies don't necessarily come out of the gates that strong. I mean, even Rashee Rice last year for 10 games or 8 games or whatever it was,
yeah,
they kind of had him in the garage playing 40% of the snaps because Andy Reid's offense is difficult. So to expect Xavier Worthy to kind of be what cures you at receiver right away, it might not happen. He's going to have big plays because his speed is just unbelievable. And maybe he's just that dude, right? Like, they're just exceptions to the rule. Maybe he just hits the ground sprinting and 4-2-1 like he usually does. But I just feel like it's going to take him a year. So they need Rashee Rice. Like, this Rashee Rice thing is really kind of an interesting factor for the Chiefs. We don't, like, people have thrown out maybe he's going to get suspended 8 games. Well, they haven't heard anything yet. What if he gets suspended the last 8 games of the year? What if he gets suspended for the playoffs? So what if he doesn't get suspended at all? We don't know. I think that's, of all the lingering questions still with Brandon Ayuk's contract and some of the lingering questions we still have, I think one that we're not talking about enough is Rashee Rice's possible suspension, because Xavier Worthy's awesome. I get that. But rookies generally aren't going to have a 1,000-yard season in an Andy Reid offense because it's complicated. Marquise Brown's fine, but he's not a dominator. I think Rashee Rice is the one guy they really need, and they need him at the right time of year. And we have absolutely positively no idea what that situation is going
to
hold.
All right, real quickly, down to 30 seconds. So do you have Detroit in the Super Bowl? Do you have them winning it? And if so, over whom?
I do, and this is crazy, but I had the Lions beating the Browns, and I just wonder if I'm just being
You're a Midwest crazy guy.
I am, actually. Yeah, Wisconsin. But, the Lions over the Browns, and then the next day the apocalypse happens.
That would be pretty wild. Two of the teams that have never been to a Super Bowl. Two of the, four teams, Jacksonville and Houston, I think, are the other two? I think that's right.
I believe that's correct.
I may be wrong.
Yep.
Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good conversation with Frank Schwab. Does a really good job covering the league and covering sports betting for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on X on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. When we come back, you're going to hear what Kirk Cousins said about Jay Gruden. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.